Today is Palm Sunday, and after the funeral of Wally yesterday, Brother Luke, my good friend, the artist, he came up to me and he gave me this book to borrow, I'm sure, to read, and it's called Servant of All. And there's this beautiful artwork on there. And I said, oh, I know that artist. I have a piece of work of that artist. His name is Sadao Watanabe. He's Japanese. And I went to my office and I pulled out this piece of artwork. Another piece by Sadao Watanabe. And this is in the Japanese folk art tradition. And this is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In it, you can see Jesus on a donkey, and you can see his disciples waving palm branches, and there's palm branches on the ground. And I love the story of Sadao Watanabe. He was born in Tokyo in 1913, and at the age of 10, he became an orphan and wandered the streets of Tokyo. And a Christian woman invited him to come to church and took him in. And at 17 years of age, Sadao Watanabe was baptized as a Christian. And he dedicated his life to the Lord. He was already a budding artist, and he came under the tutelage of a master of the traditional Japanese style of art. And he grew in that, and as he grew also in his faith, he made it his singular ambition to capture the stories of the Gospels in his art. That is his artwork. So you see on this one, right here, this is Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. This is what Jesus did on that Thursday before the Passover. And he came up to Peter, the presumed leader of the group. Yeah, for he said to Peter's proclamation of who Jesus was as Messiah, you are a rock, Petra, Petros, and I will build my church on this rock. This proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the King. And where else can we go? Because everything else is shadow. There is no substance to that. Well, when Jesus took upon himself the role of a servant with a bowl of water and came to Peter to wash his feet, what did Peter say? Not happening. You're the master. You're the teacher. You're the rabbi. You're the King. We just proclaimed you as King just a few days ago. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you can have no part with me. Well, then wash my head and my hands, but wash everything. Peter, those who have been washed, namely being in the presence of the King, and proclaiming Jesus as King, they just need to have their feet washed. I love the imagery of that, because we who are people who love Jesus, don't you think that though our hearts are filled with the joy of honoring Him, that we kind of walk around in the muck of the world and we kind of, you know, catch stuff? We live in this world, my brothers and sisters. Yeah, we're not of the world, but we are in this world. And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, says, Lord, protect them from the things of this world. The world, the flesh, and the devil, which are always tempting and competing with God for honor. And so, Peter allowed Jesus to wash his feet. And then at the end of that, Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, I have washed your feet. I have taken the role of servant. He said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, then you must learn to be the servant of all. It's an upside down kingdom. It's an opposite way of thinking. This world clamors for talent and for prestige and for position. And Jesus is saying, no, my kingdom is utterly the inverse of that. And he showed that when he came in on that beautiful first day of that week, that Sunday, Palm Sunday. He came riding on a donkey. Lowly is your king. Now this is a prophecy from the Old Testament where they were anticipating the coming of the Messiah, the one who would redeem them as a people. And it said very specifically that he would ride on the foal of a donkey, humble and meek. And isn't that just our Jesus? Yesterday at Wally's funeral, the message was on Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am humble and lowly." That's our Jesus. When I think of the instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples, I think it's so interesting that he sends a couple of disciples onto town and he says, you're going to find a foal of a donkey and I want you to take that one. It's never been ridden on by anybody and I want you to bring it to me. And if anybody asks, then just say the master has need. I've structured this message along an acronym of AWE, A-W-E. And we all should be in awe of what God has done for us and the goodness of the Spirit's work in our life. I'm in awe of the witness of that sweet Christian woman who took in Sadao Watanabe and witnessed Christ to him. There was gentle service in that, an orphan child lost and wandering. And she followed the example of Jesus. And she did what Jesus said. Love everyone and serve everyone. I'm in awe of the talent of Sadao Watanabe. And I'm in awe of how he dedicated his life to the Lord Jesus Christ in the depiction of the stories of the gospel and has done that in such a beautiful, singular way that when I look at this art, I'm not just drawn to the art of it, but I'm drawn to the story. I'm drawn to my Savior. And in every piece of artwork, Sadao sought to focus on Jesus Christ. And I am in awe of what Jesus has done for us. What he did for that sweet Christian woman in Tokyo so long ago. What he did for Sadao Watanabe. What he has done for me and what he has done for each and every one here who has experienced the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. That first letter in awe is A. And I think that we need to come, even as those people, the owner of the donkey, acknowledge the king. Isn't it interesting that all they had to say is, the king has need? And they're like, okay. You know, they're acknowledging the fact that the king is coming. There's an anticipation of the arrival of the Messiah. And their hearts are getting up in that. They're acknowledging who Jesus is. And I think that in our journey of faith, that's the first step. And of course, it's done by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who shows us who he is. And so we acknowledge the presence of the King. We acknowledge the coming of the Messiah. And what's in our hearts? We say this Hebrew word, Hosanna, which means, translated into English, Save us, we pray. They're looking at the king, recognizing that he is the Messiah, understanding that he alone can save them, and they move to worship. Worship. They're waving their branches. You know, when they talk about wave offering, remember in the Old Testament? That was one of the offerings that the people of Israel would give. And they would take their stalks of wheat at Pentecost, say, and the first fruits of the harvest, and they would wave that as a wave offering before the Lord. Okay. Who are they giving honor to in that moment? Who are they giving praise to? Who are they adoring? The giver of all good things. They recognize the food that comes out of the ground is not there because of the work that I do or the irrigation work that I have set up so that it gets watered. Ultimately, yeah, we cooperate, don't we? And it's like the seed doesn't magically land up in the ground. The ground doesn't magically get tilled. The harvest isn't magically harvested. We go and do the work, but we are collaborators in that sense. We are cooperating. Collaborators in the best sense of that word. You understand? We are cooperating with the work of God that He's called us to. And so we worship Him for who He is. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is our God. They're recognizing the kingship of the Messiah, the kingship of Jesus. Acknowledging, worshiping, and the final part of awe is, in my opinion, emulating. Emulating. To copy. To follow the example of. To be like. Sometimes we talk about grace as though it's all God and none of me. Now, in some sense, that is absolutely true. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a free gift of God, not because of what we do, lest any of us should boast. That we somehow can stand before Jesus and say, look at me, look at me. Kind of reminds me of the rich young ruler. What must I do to enter into the kingdom? He's coming to the teacher. And he's recognizing that Jesus is the one who can say the definitive word. And she said, well, you know the commandments. Basically, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, I have been doing this ever since I was a kid. Woohoo! I'm in! What does Jesus say? Good. You lack one thing. Sell all that you have, the things that you truly are holding on to, and come. Give your life away and follow me. And that rich young ruler turned away, sadly, I guess, because he knew that he could not follow Jesus. He couldn't give up everything. Jesus wants us to acknowledge who he is, to worship him, and then out of that worship, because of gratitude and because of the work of the Spirit in our lives, to emulate Him. You have seen me do this, He said. Now you must also do this. We cannot pay lip service to, yeah, it's all God, without recognizing that we must be like Christ. Do you know the first time that the word Christian is used in the Bible? It's in Acts. And it was used by unbelievers to speak pejoratively in a negative fashion about people who followed Christ. Little Christs. That's what Christian means. That's the Greek word. Little Christs. And it was meant as a put down. Well, man, did they ever live into that put down? You know, sometimes when somebody puts you down for something, lean into it. Embrace it. We are to be like Christ. We are to be little Christ. Christ's. God has called you to serve in a certain place, in a certain way, whether it's a mother, as a veterinarian, as a teacher, retired, wherever God has placed you. God wants you, by the Spirit's power, to emulate Jesus, to really be a servant of all. And remember this. Isn't it the first words that we're going to hear when we pass from this life into eternal life? Jesus is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into my rest." My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us is that we would experience that blessing of Christ's benediction on our life, which will come at the end of our days here, every day of our life. Lean into the acknowledging of Jesus in every moment of your day. Lean into worshiping Him in every moment of our day. Lean into being like Him, emulating Him, so that when you and I put our head on the pillow at night, we may hear the tender words of the Savior, "Rest well, my son. Sleep well tonight. Well done. Well done."